You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey, please drink responsibly.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
Mike sure is fired up. He's got football takes. We've got genuine controversy in the shipping container where Tony is accusing everybody of stealing his football takes. Everyone comes in on Monday and is a little aggressive about having opinions. Everyone's got more opinions. Put it on the poll, Guillermo, at Le Batard Show. Have you noticed that people have more opinions on Monday after football has saturated their Sundays? Because Tony's mad now. Billy keeps looking at Tony and saying...
He just says really obvious shit like Aaron Rodgers is good, and then he's like, I own that.
I never
like,
said what? Aaron Rodgers is good. Right. Let's
wow,
stop that.
He's saying Aaron Rodgers is not good.
I said there's something about Cooper Rush. And then Mike Schur...
There is something about Cooper Rush.
Cooper Rush is mine.
Do not.
I said there was something about Cooper Rush. That's
how
mine.
How did you say something about Cooper Rush when I had it 3 weeks ago?
I was there!
I mean, Mike did have it 4 weeks ago in his defense. Mm.
Stu, you just had Jags good last week. Give me a break.
I mean,
stay out of this.
This is the most pathetic thing I've ever heard. Mike Ryan trying to be 3 weeks early to the Cooper Rush take because he was there.
Yeah, bona fides.
Because he watched. Bona fides.
How many times have you watched Cooper Rush in person, bud? Right. Huh?
Just Mike.
Zero.
That's right.
Mike was arguing with Mike Schur before we came on here. We'll get to stat of the day in a second because Mike Ryan said, I was there. I am proud that I was there watching Tampa and Kansas City with no rooting interest for a top 10 play in the career of one Patrick Mahomes. And Mike Schur yelled at him and said that will not be in the top 10 by the time that he is done because Patrick Mahomes does that every week
in
some
way. He won't make the highlight reel. It was on Sunday night. It was an absurd creative play. That makes the highlight reel at the end of his career. It does.
That doesn't make the highlight reel at the end of... It might make the highlight reel at the end of this season, I will say. But I will also say that next week he'll do three things that are just as cool as that. The week after, he'll do three more. He does that every week. That's just what he does. And by the way, 5 weeks ago, for the record, I said out loud to no one, keep an eye on Cooper Rush.
See?
So that take
wow.
is mine.
Oh. Where'd you say it?
Oh, yeah, where did
I
you
I was
say
just
it?
In my living room. I was just watching. I was watching Dak warm up, and I thought, you know, if something happens to him,
it's got to be into a microphone or via text.
Six weeks ago, I said it to myself. Yeah. Hmm. So beat that, Mike Schur.
You said it.
All right,
to
it's
yourself.
Yours. Okay. You got the take.
But now it's just dead. Now it's just dead because no one. Chris Cody's sick today, so he doesn't have the opportunity to say he was thinking about Cooper Rush all of last season.
But he was in college.
What is happening around here where people want to be so right about thinking they know something about this thing when we just watched somehow Tom Brady play great at 45 through whatever's going on in his life and he got swamped. He got swamped because. Kansas
Not
City.
His fault.
How is it possible that Kansas City doesn't miss Tyreek Hill? In what
this
world?
This isn't a stat of the day, but I read yesterday that the Lions are the first team ever to both score and give up 140 points in their first four games. Like the whole, this is why let me say this for the record, and I know that DraftKings is the bounty that provides for us all here at Meadowlark Media. I don't understand how any of you gamble on football. It seems like the worst way to spend your time because every week you go in and you think you're like, I know five things for sure. I'm pretty certain about 10 others. And then the rest of it is a question mark. And without fail, The five that you knew don't happen. The 10 that were a question mark go the way you didn't want them to go or didn't think they would go. And the rest of it all happens exactly. It's exactly the opposite of what you think is going to happen. How do you do this?
Well, we do it poorly is the answer to your question.
Speak for yourself. 21-9 college football, Dan. That's a 70% clip, I believe. Thank you. I mean, Mike gave me a finger gun. Thank you, Mike.
70% is amazing.
Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, if you do that for a living, you got mansions, plural.
Okay, so everybody out there, there it is. You've got it. If you want to have mansions, plural, bet on Stugatz's picks because he's 21-9 through 30 games. And that sample tells you that he's better at this than anyone doing it in Vegas.
You are an outstanding, world-class professional gambler. Thank at you. 58%.
And so Stugatz is off to a very hot start, but everyone else in the world watches football and gets everything wrong.
Do not rely upon your own understanding, Mike Schur. That's how I would approach football gambling. You think to yourself, you wake up 6:30 Pacific time where you reside, you look at a London game and go, well, Andy Dalton surely can't cover against the Minnesota Vikings.
The Vikings were good. I saw them in week one. They made Aaron Rodgers look like a fool. Surely Andy Dalton will not keep them within 3 points.
Whoever the hell the Patriots played a quarterback yesterday, Zappy. You look at that, maybe Brian Hoyer gets hurt. You look at it live and go, I'm going to take the Packers now live because Zappy's in at quarterback. Do not rely upon your own understanding.
How many people do you think with a little bit of the bug, a little bit of the itch, got in on live in-game wagering on Zappy's in the game, I don't like his name, Bailey Zappy against Aaron Rodgers, I need not know anything else, I'm going live in-game, here come the Packers, surely Zappy will throw interceptions, his name is Bailey Zappy.
Mm-hmm. I imagine he's a ton of people, and the Patriots are brilliant in the run game. Zappy made just enough throws to move them down the field, and they took it to the last kick of the game.
I'm gonna come out and say this now because of how territorial this show has become.
No, don't do it.
There's something about Zappy.
No!
There's something about Zappy.
I was the only one who knew his college statistics in the local hour.
You didn't say that there was something about him.
Yes, you did. You're right, Jessica.
My school's a Conference USA school, so I have rights to Zappy.
But Jessica, did you say there was something about Zappy? You said, yes, you told us, you informed us that we were idiots for not knowing who Bailey Zappy was. You did inform us of that, but did you say there was something about Zappy? Is that your take? Because I don't think that was your take.
I said you were disrespecting him, and he threw for 6,000 yards and 62 touchdowns and 11 interceptions last year.
So, you got to say there's something about him, though.
Implied it when I said all of those other things.
You can't imply it.
He sounds like a character name in Point Break. Mike and I have something to announce together. We want to say it first, though. Mike, you want to say it? You want me to say it?
I have no idea where you're going with it.
There's something off in Arizona.
Yes. Mike, sure. That town is not big enough for Kyler Murray and Cliff Kingsbury. I'm telling you right now, there is something going on over there. There's tension on the sidelines. They're barking at each other. There's resentments and people wanting to take credit. Mm-hmm. They're not looking that good. Something's going on.
I don't think that Kyler has ever liked Cliff Kingsbury. I mean, if you go back in the history, it seems like Cliff Kingsbury has stalked him since he was an adolescent, and he's been trying to get him to go play for him in college and do all these things, and Kyler has avoided him at all costs until the NFL draft, where Cliff Kingsbury had no choice but to take him, and Kyler Murray could not leave him, and he had to go play with him. And now they're stuck together, but they've never liked each other, at least not both of them liking each other. That's just my thought.
Okay, so who's got the take of there's something going on in Arizona? Because
I still love
watching Kyler Murray do Patrick Mahomes types things, even though when they do them poorly, they look really reckless, fourth and short on the goal line. Let's snap it over his head. Hey, Kyler's chasing it. I still expect him to do something from 34 yards away. He's just going to weave around and make something out of that, right? Even though they look super sloppy.
That fourth and one jet sweep too, woof, from Cliff Kingsbury. Just handing it off and the wide receiver got blown up straight away.
Tony's in on the tape, shouted from the
Kingsbury. Start writing these down.
He's a bad coach.
He will be fired.
People have been saying that for years.
Hold on.
Yeah.
Jessica.
I said it here first. Don't start with me, Jess.
Tommy Topper here.
Really is.
Kingsbury's gone.
You're testy, man.
He's gone.
You gotta chill.
He's gonna be gone soon.
Okay, so everybody Belichick. Settle down.
Belichick should be gone.
Well, I mean, what are you doing? What are you doing?
I love it. I got it out first.
Why is Mike Schur laughing and dismissing all of us? You said that wasn't a highlight reel play from Patrick Mahomes.
No, I said it was a great play. I'm saying it won't be in the top 10 of by the end of the year. And let me say this, by the way, for the record. Here's my take. As a connoisseur of Bill Belichick football, he hasn't been happy in 4 years. Yesterday at Lambeau, when his backup, 35-year-old boring backup, goes down and he's got to throw a fourth round pick from Western Kentucky into the line of fire against Aaron Rodgers on the road, and he's like, all I got is my run game and a fourth rounder from Western Kentucky. That's the first time that guy's been happy since 2018.
Yep.
And then when the Packers punted the ball down and they downed it at the 2, and Bailey Zappe is running out onto the field with like 2 minutes left, like tie game at Lambeau. That's the first time Bill Belichick has felt alive since the last Super Bowl win.
I'll go a step further. The last Super Bowl, because he's won 100 of them, left him feeling a little dead inside because he hated Tom and he didn't like the Bob Kraft thing. I'd say that was better for him yesterday than like 5 of the championships, just because of what
I think you're right.
If he won the game, he ended up losing. No, had he won,
no,
I agree.
No, even no, lose, no, no, losing the game. Did you see them after the game? They were like hugging each other. He was like patting Matt Patricia on the back. He hasn't been happy. That's the first time he's been happy in 4 years.
Mike Schur is so right about this, but I'm saying it's even happier than he was at the end of 4 years, because whatever was happening with Brady had to be unpleasant. And yesterday he goes out there, and did you hear the quotes? Oh, what am I going to do? That was just Aaron Rodgers being amazing at the end. Like, what are you going to do? It was just Aaron being Aaron. He beat me with my running game and Zappe. I almost beat him with Zappe.
I need Zappe to start another game. I enjoy saying this person's
name.
Oh,
he'll get another
one,
Mike.
Oh, he will.
Yep.
I remember thinking in the Randy Moss year, the year that they broke every record, the perfect regular season, the 18-0 year, that was the least happy Bill Belichick's ever been, because he doesn't want to win that way. He wants to win with Bailey Zappe, fourth round pick from Western Kentucky. He wants to win with a fullback
Troy Brown,
58 yards on 14 carries.
Burkhead.
That first Super Bowl with Brady was perfect, Amendola, because he was a six-round pick. Then he became great. Yes. It got boring. Yes,
and 17-14 is how he wants to win every game, or 10-7. And yesterday, when at the end of the first half, Hoyer's out, Bailey Zappe's in, right before the half, pick six to put them up 10-7. That's how he went into that locker room feeling alive.
Shocking. Yeah. I mean, the pick six. I maintain that getting a pick six on Aaron Rodgers at Lambeau, that Bill Belichick, if you asked him the truth, would have retired right then.
It's a win.
Yeah.
Right then, right. Would have retired. I'm up 10-7 at the half. That's it. Enshrine me. I'm out of here. I'm not coming out for the second half. Patricia, you got it. At the very end, Aaron Rodgers. Do you know how much I just pissed Aaron Rodgers off? He never throws picks, and he just threw a pick six. They're booing him at halftime. They were booing him.
Yes. He threw a pick six to a rookie. It's only the second pick six he's ever thrown at home. And you're right. Belichick should have walked in, scribbled "I resign" on a napkin, like when he resigned from the Jets, threw it at Matt Patricia's face and walked out.
So I've done an accounting, I believe, of all the takes that we've had in this segment. Mm-hmm. So Mike Schur has staked the corner. There's something about Cooper Rush. He said it to himself on the couch 6 weeks ago.
He hasn't seen him in person.
It doesn't count.
No, it doesn't matter.
He said it to himself on the couch 6 weeks ago.
No witnesses. I mean.
Mike Schur also said this is the happiest Belichick has been in 4 years. Mike Ryan said there's something about Bailey Zappe. Stu and Mike combined to say something is off in Arizona.
Good teamwork.
Billy has said that Bill Belichick should be gone. Well, and Tony has said that Kirk Cousins is a quarterback I'd want with 2 minutes or less in a football game.
I also have the Arizona take Cliff Kingsbury's
fired. Oh, and he's a bank coach.
What about Jessica? She staked her claim to like six of those.
Bailey Zappi was good in college.
Yeah, she owns that. It's if you look at the stats, by the way, real golden age in Hilltopper football going on right now.
Yeah.
Well, the way that college football has changed, why can't they be one of the best teams?
Like, won the Boca Raton.
Did you? I'm watching the Liberty game. You guys see the catch? I'm like, oh, wait, really? Liberty. Right. A guy's going to be in the end zone. He's just going to reach up and grab the ball with one hand and just catch a 60-yard pass at Liberty.
Those gloves shouldn't be allowed.
What are you doing?
I just prayed that down. Those gloves shouldn't be allowed anymore. That's another one. It's too easy to make catches with those gloves.
I'm with you. They're too sticky.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they couldn't be used in any other context. Catches.
Yeah.
Why do we want highlight reel plays all the time?
I don't like
Back to the old days when receivers used to play barehanded.
Can I say one thing?
No.
I just want to say one thing real quick. There's something interesting brewing in Detroit.
No.
Wow.
He's right about that.
Tony has been saying stuff about that back since Hard Knocks, so...
I mean, everybody was betting Dan Campbell Coach of the Year, 22% on DraftKings.
But no one has said yet that something interesting is brewing there.
They play the same game every week. I mean, that's what it feels like to me.
Just saying.
Yep. I think Pete Carroll has to be Coach of the Year. I said it. I own it. Geno Smith, they're 2-2.
Two monster wins over the Broncos and Lions. How can you take that away from him?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think we're entering his last decade as coach. I'm saying that right now.
I love Stugatz with a straight face. Come on, he's Coach of the Year. They're 2-2.
Who had Seattle at 2-2 with Geno Smith?
Stat of the day. Let's get to Mike Schur's stat of the day.
Stat of the day. It is the stat of the day. Start of the day. It is the start of the day. Start of the day. It is the start of the day. Start of the day. It is the start of the day.
The stat of the day is presented by ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Congratulations to the Seattle Mariners, who clinched their first playoff spot in 21 years. To give you an idea of how long ago it was, they clinched their last playoff spot on September 19th, 2001, when Albert Pujols was a 21-year-old rookie. Then Albert Pujols played 2,931 games, got 3,200 hits, 643 doubles, 666 home runs, made the playoffs 9 times, had 19 more home runs in 352 postseason plate appearances, won 2 rings, announced he was retiring from baseball, and then the Mariners clinched another playoff spot.
That's a long time, man.
Stat of the day is courtesy of Joel Luckhopt on Twitter.
Stolen stat of the day. He's getting slightly lazier about this. Do you mind if we go forward? I would love for you to have also a Brett Favre outrage of the day. Because,
great.
I know you. he wants to get fired, but he's like, on this one, you know what? On this one, I'll work for free. So if you want to set us up with the latest Brett Favre outrage of the day, feel free to workshop this right now.
I don't even know what the latest one was, because it seems like there is a new revelation every... I've lost track, honestly. What was the most recent one?
Oh, no, it's just more and more money. It's just deeper and deeper, more and more people resigning, and it seems like it's headed toward inevitable consequences for Favre.
Yeah, shifting philanthropic funds to an athletic department, which personally I don't see anything wrong with.
the Mississippi Today folks, including Anna Wolf, who you've had on a few times, put together over the weekend an official timeline of the whole thing. I retweeted it, and you can go read just like boom, boom, boom. Here's all of the things that happened in the order they happened in. And it is really shocking when you just lay it out, and the way that Favre is asking, specifically going to the governor, Phil Bryan, and asking over and over again and being like, hey, man, he at one point, it's so corny and cringy. He's like, you're our starting QB. You got to come through for us. Like, he's using all this corny, like, football, like, metaphor language to try to get
said that last week.
She did. She owns that.
She did great. Say that last week.
I'm not going to fight you on this. Isn't funny anymore. I'm not going to fight you on takes about a welfare scandal.
It was the Mississippi Free Press that put together the timeline. It is so long. You know when you're scrolling a long wiki page and your scroll is like tiny? That's how tiny the scroll is because there is so much detail and so many things.
A lot of reporting.
It just keeps going.
Yes, there's going to be the real injustice has happened in places to God's where there isn't, never mind just the poverty levels, but the drinking water has been a problem for a while. The idea that Brett Favre's native son would be stealing that actively from poor people is going to be a scandal that deserves to stay in the news for a while because the reporting keeps going on it. It keeps getting worse, and people are resigning all over the place to get away from
it. Jess has been scrolling as fast as she possibly can for 30 seconds and is still not at the bottom of this report.
Mike, on serious subject matter, one of the things that happened this weekend, Antonio Brown in Dubai being caught on video wildly inappropriate with a woman in a pool, just, caught. It would appear on video, masturbating in public in a pool, his bare ass in Dubai, trying to put it on a woman's face. The reports are that they were horrified. The Antonio Brown story at this point, how many different weird, strange things are going to make an appearance before we can clinically diagnose somebody as either just a world-class jerk and asshole or somebody who's got that football has messed up his mind? Like, where am I supposed to land on that spectrum?
I don't know. I didn't click on any of those links when I saw his name come up. I decided, whatever that is, I don't want to. I'm learning about this from you right now because I decided I didn't want to investigate it anymore. And this is the problem, I think, with especially football players. It is impossible for us to diagnose what has gone wrong with them. We don't know anything about them. And yet we have a massive amount of evidence that the sport that they played causes permanent damage that that can lead to distressing behavior. And so the temptation is always to say, oh, he's got CTE, or, oh, he's clearly not right in the head. But that is not responsible. It's not responsible for anyone to speculate that way because we have no idea. And this is yet another way that this is when we watch Tua and we have a long discussion about Tua the next day. And then 20 minutes into that discussion, we're all just like, I mean, look at their schedule. I think they can really hang in there.
That
with
was Chris
backup.
Cody. That was Chris Cody who did that. He was talking about Bridgewater and was telling Xavier and Howard, either suck it up and play or get off the field. He ended
right
at the 21 minute mark of talking, showing great concern for Tua. He was right there. Hey, we're 3-1 after a month. I don't care about anybody. What's happening with their bodies?
And this is the problem, is that with all serious aspects of the game, the way the game affects the players, the way the injuries affect the players long-term, short-term, we will just observe it for 4 minutes and then turn away and go back to talking about Bailey Zappi.
Thank you for being on with us. He
looks
great.
Good,
there was
though,
something
yeah,
about really him. There was something about him.
Hey, that's mine.
It was amazing.
Hey, that's mine.
I wanted it. I feel like I said it first.
I
feel like you didn't even know his name. You can't be yours. You weren't even watching the game. You're
sure
like,
I said it first.
You didn't
that's
even
rules.
Know. No, you didn't even know that Hoyer.
Mike didn't even say it. He thought to himself. You let him keep on.
Unbelievable. Tony's right, man. All of you guys are thieves. Tony, where are you with this? Thank you, Mike. Good talking to you. We appreciate it, as always.
Check out podcast.
Yes, please. Check out the podcast. He and Joe Posnanski. One of them is a great writer and the other is Mike Schur. So check out the podcast.
Whoa.
Excellent. Thank you, Mike. Good talking to you.
There's something brewing in Detroit, boys.
You mentioned that. Posnanski had it first. Thank you. The podcast with Mike Schur.
Hey, everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there. I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers. The trusted choice recommended by leading experts with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.
Don Lebatard.
Stugatz, if you give him the choice, Stugatz, you can have the very same thing one of two ways. You could get it honestly or you could steal it. He'll always choose stealing it.
Stugatz.
Well, it's the quicker path. I mean, it's just, you know.
This is the Don Lebatard Show with the Stugatz.
We are presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use code Dan for a special offer when you sign up. That's code Dan, only at DraftKings Sportsbook.
Tony, what are your latest allegations being sent toward the room? Because you claim everyone here is stealing your stuff.
There's a lot of people stealing takes around here. I heard Mike say something about the Jets. I was on the Jets like a month ago. Like, there's just a lot of stuff that I don't like.
On the Jets?
No. I've been telling you about the Jets for a long time.
Oh, please. Ask Chris Cody.
No, that's my take. That's not
you. I mean, Mike has, you know, he's been telling me since last year how good the surrounding cast is. Yeah. If I have a quarterback, I'll be pretty good.
I physically picked his
chin up. In his defense.
Please.
Chin up.
Please. Tell me about this year. Okay, last year was last year. Yep. This is this year, okay? I told Chris Cody at the beginning of the season, when we did our Dolphins preview, I said the Jets have a better roster top to bottom than the New England Patriots.
You know what? I'm over this whole thing. You guys can have it all. You guys can have all
your
takes.
Thank you.
But you get the appropriate shame when it doesn't pan out. None of this shit.
That's fine.
You don't go hiding under a rock the next Kirk Cousins primetime
no,
game.
No, absolutely not.
I'm going to be looking for you.
Good.
Mm. Do you have your five things?
I do. I have my top five here, actually.
And the Jets never pan out.
We'll get to the five things, but you can't say Kirk Cousins is the guy that you want more than any other in the league with 2 minutes left
in the
game.
That's my opinion. He is so good in late-game situations, and it continues every week.
You trust him more than anyone.
More than Josh Allen.
It was a hell of a throw to Jefferson. It was a hell of a throw.
More than Lamar Jackson, more than Patrick Mahomes, more than Tom Brady, more than Justin Herbert. More than Russell Wilson. I mean, come on, guys.
You guys trust Pro Fantasy Football Focus, right? Is that what it's called?
Who's that? Nope.
You had an extra F.
I don't know why I made it fantasy.
PFF.
Geno Smith, according to Pro Football Focus, is the highest graded quarterback in the NFL ahead of Josh Allen, Jalen Hurts, Tua, and Jacoby Brissett.
Well, let's talk about this for a second. That's too strong.
Now, every time I have him in fantasy on this daily fantasy thing we do for DraftKings, he shits the bed for me. He sucks. I'm getting tired of him.
Okay,
Stephon Diggs also shit the bed yesterday.
It was terrible.
No, oh, please. The real ones do it in the rain, okay? Everybody knows that.
Who does
that.
It in the rain?
Everybody Brady. Does it in the rain. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They were down 20 and he came back and won.
No, please. He got me like 18 points. Horrible week for him again. And by the way, if you want to compete against us, dkng.co/Lebatard.
Yeah.
Damn, we sold out on Friday before we even announced it. Amazing. So it's been up this week.
It's because it's got such an easy to pronounce name. Everybody, it's catching
Everybody
fire.
Knows.
You're a bit obnoxious here when you say that Josh Allen sucks, because that's not a take anybody has. However, something I did want to talk about, as Baltimore could very easily be 4-0. They look amazing. Lamar Jackson looks amazing. The decision to go for it on fourth down, Stugatz.
Terrible job.
Dan,
I don't care about the math, okay? The game is tied. You have the best kicker. Your defense is playing well, because at that time, I think Buffalo only had 17 points, something like that. So your defense is playing well against a very good offense. You have the best kicker in the history of the game. It's a tie game. go up three and let your defense do what they've been doing all afternoon.
You can play it that way. I'd prefer to play against the I'd prefer to trust my most valuable player, who's very hard to stop. And I'd prefer
Tucker you're talking about, right?
I would prefer to trust that the league shift to when we're close, we'll try for seven instead of three and make the team. If we miss, we'll make the team go 97 yards. But I want to address what Billy's saying about Josh Allen. And I know Mike's got strong opinions on Buffalo in general, but Buffalo now, with a lot of hurt players, has crawled to looking very impressive. And they beat Baltimore yesterday. But what I wanted to ask you in the assessment of Josh Allen is this. The one loss on their resume, and when you look at Pro Football Focus, they do a very good job of examining this. He had, and again, it was a weird game, 73 dropbacks, all of that. But he had like five interceptable passes, two that could have gone for pick sixes, that it could have been like a disaster game if the Dolphins had just, they would have been great play. You know, one of them, certainly by Phillips, would have been a great play. But still, they were interceptable passes, and three of them were in the fourth quarter. And I ask you guys, when it comes to Josh Allen, because he's so big, because it's I fear him so much, just running, I fear he's going to get on third and four the 5 yards. But he's still kind of reckless, isn't he? Like, he still does. He's got such a giant arm that he trusts, and he should, that he's more reckless than most of the guys like Mahomes who play like him, correct?
If you look at his numbers from Pro Football Focus, they have a metric called turnover-worthy plays. Towards the second half of last season, he almost entirely cut it out of his game. One, maybe two, a few zeros in there. And this year, that Miami game was the outlier. If you look at his turnover-worthy plays, one against the Rams, one against the Titans, none against the Ravens, and six against the Dolphins. Six turnover-worthy plays, I don't believe any of which were converted into interceptions by the Dolphins. So it is somewhat of an outlier. But yesterday was kind of a bizarre game for them, and going down 20-3, they seemed to go down a fair bit.
I came away super impressed with Josh Allen yesterday. They had injuries to the receiving core. Gabe Davis has not been right since week 1. Guy can't catch a ball clean.
Drops the ball a lot.
Yeah, I mean, the conditions weren't good over there. Their running game is putrid over there. They may have found something with passing the ball to Singletary. He's proven himself to be a good receiver of the football. But if you've seen what they're calling, what Ken Dorsey is calling at the end of games, it's just Josh Allen, do it for us. There was that crucial fourth down play where you thought Josh Allen might try to force a ball in there, and he didn't necessarily have an angle, but he was so agile that he escaped the tackle attempts, and his big body fell forward, and they got the first down. That's just all Josh. Go out there and win it for us. Coming back on the road in those conditions without your weapons where they should be anyways, with zero running game, with them daring you to go be Josh Allen and beat us, and you still do. Are you just allergic to me gas bagging?
This is what happens. She's got a timer. She does have a timer.
Played off.
She has.
That was a big one.
I believe that Jessica, very often, when you've gone 45 seconds at 1.8 speed of cocaine-y football analysis, I believe Jessica has a timer in her head that makes her sneeze so that everything stops.
Do you not have a mechanism for stifling sneezes?
Not like when
go
big.
Go into the not go when into they're
that
the big.
Now when Mike is talking so much.
You've been stifling that one for a while, it seemed like,
it was,
right?
Yeah. It was on the top of my nose.
Will we see it? Around your face? Will we see the itching move around your face as you try to muzzle it before it?
Absolutely. Okay. It was underneath my eye for a minute, moved down into my lower sinus cavity, and then came out.
Well, it was ready to go.
Well, I know where Dan was going with all of this, and he was teasing Tony's top five. I can't let you forget
that. I don't mean to get too far from it, and I don't like what's happening around here, but before we get to the top five that you are now promising, I want Billy specifically to know the following, because we are watching this sport, and we still, every week, the opposite thing happens, and we analyze it, and we think we know something, and Stugatz does, because he's an amazing 21-9.
Thank you.
But Next Gen Stats, okay. Next Gen Stats has, and I've got this top five before we get to Tony's top five, top five highest ball hawk rates
Oh, wow.
Highest ball hawk rates. Are you ready?
I love a ball hawk.
He's trying to take all the air out of your top five.
Yeah.
Number five.
Well, by the way, we should describe what ball hawk rate is. I believe it is pass breakups plus interceptions.
What do you mean?
We get it. No, we get what a ball hawk is.
What do you mean? We have to describe what it means. What the hell are you talking about?
Jesus Christ.
What do you mean? The ball hawk.
Pass breakup plus interceptions divided by passes.
He's talking about the ball. He's talking about.
This is not math.
Minka Fitzpatrick.
What's the matter with you? You think so, but he's OLI, my friend.
Get out of here.
He is OLI.
He dropped one this weekend. I mean, he had one.
Yeah, but he was around it. He was hawking.
Yes, but no, but which part are you not understanding as you try to bring your math here, math boy? It's ball hawk. It's ball hawk rate. Say it again, what you think it is.
It's not what I think it is. What it is.
No.
What do you think it is? Pass breakups plus interceptions divided by passes defended.
Ball hawk rate.
Which part of this
are you not understanding?
Divide.
Number five, Darius Slay of the Eagles.
Oh, he's good. He's an Eagle?
Oh, he's good. You got that in the wrong order.
I thought he was a Lion still.
Number four, Steven Nelson of the Texans. Number three, J.C. Horn of the Panthers.
Clay hasn't been on the Lion since 2019.
Really? And he stops between Detroit and...
Number two, Dave Jackson of the Bills. Football expert, 21-9 against the spread.
That's right. No thanks so much.
And number one, Xavien Howard.
Oh, wow.
And the difference between Howard and Slay is large. It's 28% for Howard. Ball hawk rate, 23% for the aforementioned Slay. 21-9, Sugatz is. Go ahead and follow his picks. They are the picks that will bring you a great deal of money.
Yeah.
Because he bets.
He's more of a college expert than NFL.
I'm doing decent with the NFL, though.
Yeah, not bad. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I'm having a good season. I am. It's going to fall apart very soon.
Tony's top five observations from the weekend. We will get to Stugatz's weekend observations here in a moment. We'll get to funniest thing from the sports weekend in a moment. But here they are. Billy, are you.
Writing them down.
You're writing them down. So where are you with this, though? Because you've been very
been
divisive when it comes to Tony. I don't know what you're... I'm being confused consistently by what your relationship is with
him. I'm a wild card.
You seem to like him a great deal, but you seem to undercut him at every turn, whatever he's doing around here.
It's like a big brother, little brother thing.
Yeah.
I also have my top five ball hawks of all time.
Oh, my God. Wow. That's exciting. What's your algorithm for that?
You know,
give
when
me your numbers.
You know when
I,
you see
I
it.
Test,
when
yeah, I like test, buddy.
Yeah.
Number, well, I think I
test
got two
divided
of them.
By fire in the
you
gut.
You can't help yourself whenever I do these things.
I think I want Mike's first, to be honest.
Yeah, let's do Mike's first. I like Mike.
All right,
Mike.
Number five. Yeah, I'm number five. List. Well, you know he is. Number five.
Prime time.
Wow. Number four.
Dick Nitrane Lane.
Really? That's a stunner. This is a Mad Dog.
Good
this
one.
Felt like a Mad Dog one that you
did. Very strange way to start that. The diction on that was very bizarre.
Whittingham, do me a favor. Just tell me how big. Look up at the dimensions of Dick Nitrane Lane. I just want to know how big he was.
Yeah. Look up. How big is Dick?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Number three.
Rod Woodson.
Good one. Not even going to be the highest stealer. Number two.
It's not even the highest Woodson. Charles Woodson.
Wow.
6'1", 194 on Nitrane Lane.
We're going to all agree on this one.
We're all, and that means that OLI has the Steeler that you were thinking of. I really wanted to put Polamalu on there, but I couldn't disrespect Dick Nitrane Lane.
That's ridiculous. No pun intended.
I think it was.
How many Dick Nitrane Lane songs do you know, huh?
Number one.
Nitrane Lane's career began in 1952.
Yep.
To be fair, did lead the NFL in interceptions with 14 in 1952.
Look up interceptions for Dick Nitrane Lane and then Troy Polamalu. He was a different type of ball hawk.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're a hawk and you're hawking, you're usually doing it in the secondary.
How many field goals did he block?
Troy Polamalu, excellent player. And Bob Sanders, if he stayed healthy, might have found himself onto the OLI too. It was a golden era for safeties back then. Number one, you know it.
Ed
Reed.
Atta boy.
I mean, it's not even close.
Yep. Dick Nitrain Lane played 157 games, had 68 interceptions, and had 1,207 interception return yards.
Respect it.
Think about that.
Respect him. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Tony, are you ready to give us your top five football?
Six tutties.
Dan, I was born ready.
Oh, here. Why does he have such better imaging here?
All right. Top five for week four. We're going to start in a place that I haven't really mentioned this team at all. But I'm going to mention something to you guys. I'm going to be here for... What do you mean?
You have this like spread out amongst like four pads and sheets of paper.
Well, no, because I got one written down here, but then Stu also writes down all of my top fives from every week. Yeah, which he's going to do there.
In defense of Tony here, because this is just such an impossible spot we put him in every week. Well, I'm just going
to
tell you why, though, because there's not a lot of room around here on Mondays, and everyone comes in here gas bagging. Mm. And so he's got these reams of, he's doing reams of studying. Like he's actually, and Stu Gatz is like coming over and is like, what? What do you mean? Darius Slay.
Hey, stop interrupting the top five. Yeah.
21-9.
Number five.
Number five. The Giants are frauds. Wow. But there's a but. Saquon Barkley, he's back.
Wow. Yeah.
They're totally frauds. You have them being totally frauds.
They're absolutely fraudulent. I love Brian Daboll as a coach, but their team is fraudulent. They have no wide receivers. Their offensive line's not that good. Their defense is okay. Daniel Jones kind of sucks. But Saquon Barkley, boys and girl, is back.
Got it.
Number four.
Number four, something that Mike Schur alluded to earlier. It's a spoiler in Tony's top five. And I have it here written from, this is from yesterday.
But he said it first.
He said something different first, though. He said something different. What I'm going to say is the first time it's going to be said here.
I don't know what. Okay.
Number four. Sorry, haters. Lions are fun.
Oh, sorry, haters. They're a fun team. Lions are fun.
Yeah, I don't care if they go 2-15. Not the point. The point is they're a fun team, and I want to watch them every single time. They didn't even have Amon Ross St. Brown last night or yesterday.
Their defense stinks.
The sun god.
I mean, he's watching tape.
I mean, I'm watching offense, Woody. Right. What are we doing
Jessica,
here?
Why did you
yeah, sorry,
cringe
haters.
There? Sorry, haters?
Sorry, haters.
The haters are pissed. I had to tell them sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Number three. Kind of feels like Brady should have retired, right?
Oh!
It kind of felt like that last night.
He was the better quarterback last night. Had one of the best games of his career.
I care about you.
Because White fumbled the opening kickoff, and it was essentially a 14-point
score. There was something.
He was great.
He was walking around the sideline when he hurt his shoulder. He was probably like, man.
He wanted to throw that tablet again.
I said that half an hour ago.
He had to restrain himself. He wanted to throw that tablet again.
I will say in Tony's defense, though, if some of the reporting, and people are prying around in their private life, but if some of the reporting is right on however uncomfortable a division in his life football has been, he may actually be thinking that on the worst days. He may be thinking, like, why? What did I do this for? This is so hard. Mahomes is so young, and the Chiefs, my guys are all hurt. And the Chiefs,
I can't outscore this guy.
I can. I'm great still, but what was that? What did he do at the goal line? What was that? Then he flipped the ball up there. Mike is like, I was present for one of the great moments of all time, and Mike Schur is like, won't be in his top 10 by the end of the year.
Brady just plunges that in.
I always wanted to know what the quarterback said to each other after the games, and we actually got the mic'd up sound, and all I heard was Tom Brady say, keep it up, kid. And that was it.
Yeah.
I always wonder, like, those always seem like such momentous occasions. I imagine those have to be the most boring conversations in the world, right? They don't say anything to each other.
Well, I don't know. I'd be curious what it is that Josh Allen
and
Tua said to each other when they were draped on each other. Number two.
Fun.
Told you guys something about Cooper Rush. That was, again, I had that as another top five from another week.
For the love
but
of God.
But he's undefeated as a starter. I mean, when did I have it?
Yeah, you have the list. When did you say it?
You tell Dak to take all the time he needs, Tony?
Dak's
supposed to come back this week.
Absolutely. No, he says he's rushing to come back week five. I wonder why.
Well, it, real quick, though.
Something about Cooper Rush.
Instead of Cooper Rush, how about we just call it on Wentz, right? Those are good skill guys
Washington. Ooh, yeah. No, that's a good call, Dan.
Those are good skill guys in Washington. We all know those are good skill guys in Washington. That's Wentz. Hey, I wonder what football does to the human body.
Yeah, you know what, Dan? You're right, because I'm gonna switch number two. Obviously, everybody knows about Cooper Rush and Kirk Cousins at this point, but I'm going to put Wentz's dust.
Wait a minute.
But Dan said it first.
Yeah, no, I'm going to give credit to Dan, but I'm going to change my number two. Wentz is dust.
Dust.
That being said, that one touchdown that he threw, the fade to the corner of the end zone to Dotson,
great throw.
Was a flawless pass.
He's so
it's
good
like, how
sometimes.
Are you capable of
but
this?
But everyone in the sport is capable of it. Everyone in the sport, Cooper Rush, everyone. Hey, Bailey Zappe, everyone. They're all throwing a Logan Zappe. Thomas.
Bailey Zed.
Oh, number one, you're number one.
Number one, Dan, is exciting.
What was the one that you scratched out?
Well, number one
that
was,
like, that was told you about Cooper Rush.
Told you about Cooper Rush, yeah.
Something
about Cooper Rush
so.
Was a couple weeks ago.
He replaced it with Wentz's dust.
Got yes,
it.
Exactly.
Got it.
Thank you, Stu. Okay. Thank you for paying attention.
That's why I write these things down.
Yeah, attaboy. Yeah. Number one, one I'm really excited about, and somebody had alluded to it. I think it might have been Stu Gotts. They wrote Geno off. He didn't write back.
Wow. Well, that's his take. Now, he was at that
yeah,
take
but
first.
It becomes my take because you know what? Seahawks, not that bad.
It did not make sense what Geno Smith said that they had written him
oh,
off,
Dan, it
but
made
he
sense.
Didn't write back.
Dan, are you kidding me? That
made
so much
sense. Right.
To Stugatz's point. Oh.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.